Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get to Mark Cox on this issue.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Mark Cox, the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. Since you've been off the air, John Bolton has resigned or been fired from his position as National Security Advisor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that news conference earlier, Annie. Thank you. And I don't know. I'm sure he was fired, but I don't know why they're parsing the word so much. I mean, Bolton immediately texts Brian Kilmeade. I heard you at the top of your show, play that sound clip, says, I resigned, I wasn't fired. But what the president said was, I told him I wanted him to leave and he should submit his resignation. So, yes, he resigned, but it's because the president wanted him to resign. What difference at this point does it make, to quote one of my favorite politicians of all time? I mean, just like the weather map you talked about. I'm not kidding you, Annie. This morning, during one of the commercial breaks in my show, at the top of the hour, at 7 a.m., walked into the conference room and the lunchroom, and CBS Morning Show was on. And the second story in their national newscast after the rescue of the men on that tanker that tipped over was a White House correspondent standing in front of the White House telling us about the continued controversy from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration map. And I'm thinking to myself, the storm is gone. That was well over a week ago, and you're still talking about this.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And, Mark, I completely agree with you when it comes to Trump and Bolton and this story. When we did it at the top of the show, I said, look, the bottom line is he's not the National Security Advisor anymore, and Trump's going to be hiring somebody next week. That's the real story, but that's the only real story. But of course, all this palace intrigue and talk about, you know, whether he was fired or resigned. But I believe that part of that is brought on to the president by himself, probably intentionally, when he puts in the, you know, if it was just he stepped down or I asked him to resign and he did and leave it at that, that's one thing. But there's always that dig, like in this morning's tweet, that says, I fired him because I didn't like any of the suggestions he had, and neither did anybody else in the administration. And so if I'm John Bolton, I completely understand wanting to put my side of the story out there, because now I feel like he's taking shots at me for no reason. So I think some of it that gets stirred up and gets the press going is, you know, the fire is, the fuse is lit by the president.
True. And be careful how you answer this, but what's Donald Trump's favorite F word?
Uh-oh. Fired?
Fired.
Yeah.
You're fired. He loves that word. Come on. He says it all the time. You know, we need to remember that the hissy fit that the media threw when he appointed John Bolton to that position. They hated John Bolton.
Yeah.
John Bolton was a hawk.
Yeah, war
John
hawk.
Bolton's going to get us in World War III. Why would the president appoint out John Bolton? And now they're all crying because John Bolton is not with the administration anymore, which just really rips the clothes off the emperor. All they really care about is whatever story they can tackle next to be critical of this administration. Doesn't matter what the story is of the day. And you're right, the president doesn't help the matter any with his tweets, but he's almost like the guy at the other end of the mouse, the cat toy. The cat's going to jump around and chase it. The media is the cat, and the president is constantly toying with them.
Yeah, I think that's, at this point, definitely true. I wanted to ask you, Mark, before I let you go, and I don't know how you're going to handle this on your show tomorrow, but we are 18 years today away from a different time in America. I remember I was a senior in high school on the morning of September 11th, And so I usually classify that as I was as old as you could be as a kid and as young as you could be as an adult. I was 17 years old, and I didn't even know what a terrorist was. I didn't know the whole concept of what was taking place on the morning of September 11th was so foreign from my everyday way of thinking as a high school student. What were you doing on September 11th morning, and how did that affect your life on that day?
Yeah, I was the morning news anchor at KMOV. I remember sitting on the news desk. We had just cut away to CBS for about a 10-minute news update from CBS this morning. And
were you on the air?
We were not. We were waiting to come back from a cutaway to the network. And then Harry Smith broke in live because a portion of those cut-ins were taped. Harry Smith broke in live and said, we were just seeing reports of a small plane, we believe, that's crashed into, you know, one of the towers, the World Trade Center, and they cut away live to it. And of course, they never came back to us locally. At that point, it was all network television. And then they started, we gathered in the newsroom to figure out how we were going to cover it locally. And I remember the first place I was sent was the Eagleton Courthouse building, because the belief was at that point, any federal building might potentially be a target.
Yeah.
So I was dispatched there, and other reporters went out to the airport, and I ended up at the airport at some point, which was just surreal on a day when all air traffic in America stopped. And of course there were all the planes on the tarmac at Lambert. And one of the touching stories we covered is that quickly the hotels filled up and local churches were sending their church buses there to pick people up and take them to their homes overnight to shelter them because they had nowhere else to go.
Yeah. That day is something that is so surreal to look back on. And I think it's even kind of strange for me personally, because I feel like I grew up in a really fast way that day, like a lot of people my age did. Being a senior in high school, there were quite a few people who were my age who made a decision that day to sign up for the military and are still serving in the military today. And I just think all the different walks of life that everybody leads and the people listening right now, we all remember that day and we all remember it differently. But I think that talking about those stories, it's a good, healthy exercise to do, because I think it puts into perspective the daily minutiae of what we deal with on a daily basis here now with the Sharpie Gate and the constant bickering back and forth. Going back to that day and remembering what is out there in the world and what has been, I think it gives us a little bit of a dose of reality. So thanks for sharing that story with us.
Yeah, it changed everything, Annie. It brought the war on terror to our home shores, and hopefully here we are today debating whether we should be in Iraq or have peace talks with the Taliban, and it's just all these years later, we're still fighting the same war.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we will be sure to be listening tomorrow and hear stories that I'm sure you guys will have and the rest of the show, because the one thing that we did learn too from 9/11 is that we do have to go on with our way of life, and we do have to continue to be Americans and act as such. So we always appreciate listening to you in the morning, and we always appreciate you here in the afternoon.
You bet, Annie. Thank you.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon.